The following stereo program is made possible in part by a grant from the National Endowment for the Arts.
Attention, ladies, gentlemen, and bivalves of all ethnic persuasions. A riveting morality play entitled, Why Support for Public Radio Must Increase in the Next Century.
Light speed control. Do you want?
Are you from outer space? You look like somebody from outer space.
Yeah. Now leave me alone, kid. Beat it.
What you doing?
Fixing my spaceship. What does it look like?
Why?
Because it's broken.
Why?
I wish I knew.
Why?
So I can figure out what's wrong. Now beat it. Go away.
Why?
You distracted me, kid. Didn't your parents ever tell you not to talk to strangers, huh?
No.
Well, they should have.
Why?
This is why, you little... larva should be seen and not heard.
Say, fella! What the hell are you doing on my property?
Fixing my spaceship, you moron.
You're trespassing, you know that?
It was an emergency landing. Give me a moment. I'll be out of your way, and you'll never see me again.
You knocked down a power line and killed one of my cows. You ain't leaving until you pay for the damage.
All right. Here's something on account. Ooh, biped.
All right, buddy. Step away from your vehicle with your hands up. We've got you surrounded.
You're nuts.
Back away from that flying saucer now. Hands in the air.
What do you expect from a sexually bifurcated species?
Oh, strange visitor from another planet. I am Reverend Bill E. Munday, a man of the cloth. With me is Rabbi Moshe Pipik, and here is Father Ryan McTipple. Oh, and may I present Ayatollah Ali al-Wazir. And this is Lama Kung Pao Dung. And, of course, the High Priestess Tantra.
Good mechanic?
Call the Pentagon! Find the mechanic! Do a worldwide search!
Little green man, a robot arm is approaching you with a communication device. It's called a telephone. It is not, I repeat, not a weapon.
I know how to use a telephone, you moron, for crying out loud. Hello?
Hello, you're on Car Talk.
National Public Radio presents a production of the Hollywood Theater of the Year, 2000X. A radio series devoted to stories of the next millennia. Now, here is your host, the award-winning writer and critic, Harlan Ellison.
Welcome to your favorite audio abattoir, the pit of reason we call Beyond 2000. I am your respectful host, the author Harlan Ellison, and you have just heard Mr. Tom Towles as the evil space alien in the anonymous playlet, Why Support for Public Radio Must Increase in the Next Century or We'll Shoot This Dog. Littering the cast credits were the talents of Ira Burton, Hamilton Camp, John O'Hurley, Laura Kellogg, Tom Miazzi, and John Shook. Our next selection is a lesser-known chiller by one of the grandmasters of fantasy, Mr. Ray Bradbury. To be sure, we could have adapted something familiar from the Martian Chronicles, or that great one about the guy who goes back in time to slay a dinosaur, but he steps on a butterfly and he changes the future. Yeah, I mean, you remember that one. Or even a truncated version of Fahrenheit 451. But to be absolutely candid with you, I got two Bradbury favorites, and the other one is a suspense story, so they wouldn't let us do it. But this one is a frightening, futuristic mind warper in the vein of the very best Ray wrote for Weird Tales back when he was a yonker, just starting out. And there are only 38 people in the known world who remember this one. And so, in service of preserving the stories we writers think are more memorable than the ones you do remember, Beyond 2000 takes you with it. Beyond 2000 to warm you and to chill you at the talent of Ray Bradbury and his pillar of fire. Hate.
This is the story of the late William Landry. It starts several centuries after his demise.
Hate.
Oh, I'm back. I don't know about you, but I've about had it for the day.
This is last one. William Landry. Born 1898. Died 1933. 33? 33. Been lying here since 20th century.
The Dark Ages.
Yeah.
Hate.
Look, it's 10-2, huh? Let's knock off, okay?
This year's last one.
We'll get him fast thing Monday morning. Oh, he ain't going anywhere. No. Let's go.
Good night, Mr.
Landry. Yeah, sweet dreams, Mr.
Landry.
Hate. Hate.
Stand in the graveyard, hating. It's good to walk again. It's good to leap out of the earth, off your back, and stretch your cramped arms violently and try to take a deep breath. But you can't take a deep breath. You can't breathe. You are dead. Remember those stories of the last man on earth? The stories of men wandering in ruins alone. Well, you, William Landry, are a switch on the old story. Do you know that? You are the last dead man in the whole damned world.
I am an anachronism.
The graveyard is on a hill. You reach the edge of it. And now you look down upon the town of Salem. It is all illumination, all color, rocket ships cut fire above it, crossing the sky to all the far ports of Earth. Do you know what year this is?
2349.
Yes. And do you know what they do to corpses here?
They burn them.
Lift your eyes. In the center of the town, a massive finger points at the stars. It's 300 feet high. And 50 feet across.
Incinerator.
Say that there's a dying man in the town. In a moment, he'll be dead. What happens? No sooner is his pulse cold when a certificate is flourished and made out, his relatives pack him into a vehicle.
A car beetle.
And drive him swiftly to...
the incinerator.
That functional finger.
In my grave. The new violence of this future world is driven down and seeped into me.
That pillar of fire pointing at the stars.
I've been bathed in it for years.
Like a stick of kindling, your Mr. Dead Man is shot into the furnace.
I know all about it.
Take care of yourself, William Landry. You are the last one. The rare item, the last dead man. All the other graveyards on Earth have been blasted up. This is the last one, and you are the last dead man from the centuries. You're their enemy, Landry. The very fact that you are up and walking makes you their enemy. It's the whole vampire, disbelieving, body-burning, graveyard-annihilating world against a man in a dark suit on a dark autumn hill.
I will find some way to push their damnable incinerators down into rubble. I will make dead people again, and I will make friends in so doing. I cannot be alone. I must start manufacturing friends very soon. Tonight.
Good evening. Say, you look lost.
Do I?
I was just going to my beetle. I'd be happy to drop you wherever you want to go.
Really? A total stranger?
Oh, everybody helps everybody else.
Does everybody stop strangers on the street and butt into their business?
Oh, you're not from around here, are you? You must have come with Burke and the others from Mars.
Mars?
Where else would you wear those smelly old rags? Come on home with me. I'll give you something fresh to put on.
What about the clothes you're wearing?
Oh! Oh, oh! Oh! No! Ow! Somebody! Somebody!
War is declared.
We're sorry to bother you so late.
Don't be. The incinerator is open 24 hours. It's best to burn the deceased as soon as possible. Otherwise...
it's unsanitary.
I know. You're right.
Oh, Roger?
Well, he was my uncle.
May I see the papers?
Right here.
A citizen from the Hive Complex. Cardiac arrest. Yes, everything's in order. Would you like a full ceremony?
Oh, my uncle wasn't big on ritual.
A simple service, then. Well, the deceased is in position. I'll just open the safety lock. You may press this button to ignite the burners.
Oh, I don't know if I can.
We'll do it together, honey.
All right.
We that were born of the sun, return to the sun.
Goodbye, Uncle.
Rest in peace.
If you will follow the signs to the meditation room while I finish up here.
Of course. Come, dear.
Sir? The meditation room is that way?
Oh, I'm not with those two.
Oh, then may I help you?
Just looking.
Rather late at night.
I couldn't sleep.
Oh, are you one of those colonists who just returned from Mars?
What makes you think that?
But you're so pale, and you say you can't sleep.
I mean to say I didn't want to sleep. I wanted to think. I was just walking by.
Walking by?
Thinking and walking.
How unusual.
It is.
Well, nobody walks anywhere anymore.
I noticed you outside talking to that couple, and when they followed you in, so did I.
Whatever for?
Curiosity. I've never been inside an incinerator before.
Well, not even as a child.
No.
I thought all children are escorted through incinerators, you know, to instruct them in the value of the clean fire dispersal of the newly departed.
Not where I come from.
Ah, you are from Mars.
How does this thing work?
Well, you saw me just now working the buttons. It's very simple. As you see, they're clearly labeled, but I also have to monitor these gauges. If the pressure builds up, the gases in the flue could overload. But I'm sure this doesn't interest you.
It does. Much more than you know.
Do you smell anything?
No. Why?
I smell something. I remember once when I was a boy, we found a cow lying dead in a field. It had been there 2 days in the hot sun. That's what this smells like. I wonder what it's from.
I know what it's from.
Oh, you do? What?
Me, of course.
You?
Dead several hundred years.
I beg your pardon?
I said I'm dead, a corpse. I've been one a long time. A lot longer than your cow.
You're an odd joker.
I'm going to kill you.
You are an odd joke.
It will be the first, no, the second murder in 300 years.
That's silly. People don't do that.
But they used to in the old days.
Well, I know they did.
And they could do it again. It's easy. See?
Take your ass.
Nobody commits murder anymore. There's no crime. Everybody helps everybody else, minds everybody else's business. I could knock down the whole population of this planet like bowling pins.
It's 6 a.m. You're 5 miles away from the Salem flu. You watch as the great fire chimney of the incinerator shatters into 10,000 parts and flings itself into the earth and into the sky and into the houses of the sleeping people. There is fire and sound, more fire than autumn leaves made burning in the hills. You can see the town ignited by the great spreading cremation of it.
This is only the first.
It's so simple.
I'll tear all the others down before they even suspect there's an unethical man loose in their society.
You walk around killing people who don't believe in murder, who have only heard of it indirectly as some dim, gone custom of the old barbarian races.
They can't account for a variable like me. I'm beyond their understanding.
There is only one criminal in the world, and nobody knows he exists. Yet.
I don't exist. I'm incomprehensible to these people. Impossible. Therefore, I do not exist.
Now, even the sky is palled with a vast black cloud of your explosion.
My God! I can kill hundreds of thousands of them before they even realize murder is out in the world again. Why, the idea is so huge, it's unbelievable.
And so easy.
Thought we didn't finish.
Oh, we didn't. There was one more coffin.
Right. Here it is.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
It's all tore open.
Oh, then we got the wrong hole.
What's the name on the gravestone?
Lantry.
Yeah, that's the one.
Well, he's gone.
What happened to the body?
It was here last night.
We never opened the box. Maybe it was empty.
Oh, people don't bury empty coffins. Ah, smell that. He was here.
Definitely.
So, somebody took the body.
What for?
A souvenir.
Of what? A dead guy?
Well, maybe it was for science.
That'd be weird. Who cares about dead bodies? Even if they did, they wouldn't steal. Nobody steals.
Well, then, there's only one answer.
What's that?
He got up and walked away.
You know, I think you're right. He got up and walked away.
Interesting to think about.
Yeah, sure is.
Hey, you two in the trough.
Well, what's up, boss? We going somewhere?
Emergency in town. They want all of Elba crews to help with the cleanup from the explosion this morning.
What happened?
The big incinerator up there went kaflooey this morning. We've been called in to help with the cleanup.
Well, what about this Lancy guy?
I forget him. After this morning, what's another corpse more or less?
Salem.
Yes?
Give me the police department.
I beg your pardon?
The law force.
I will connect you with the peace control.
Oh, yes, the peace control.
Peace control, Stevens.
Give me the homicide detail.
What?
Who investigates murders?
What are you talking about?
Wrong number. Ye gods. There's no such thing as a homicide detail. There are no murders, therefore they don't need detectives. Perfect. Perfect.
Who are you?
Oh, the man who called just left.
May I help you?
Odd. Everybody asks me that.
Why is that odd? Everybody helps everybody else. And you look like you need help. Do you?
This is a library, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
Where are the books?
Books? Oh, you mean the holocubes.
The what?
Hologram recordings.
Oh, right.
What are you looking for?
The card catalog.
We don't catalog any cards here. The museum, though, has quite a nice collection.
Poe.
What?
Edgar Allan Poe. He's an author. I'd like to get a hollow cube of one of his works.
How do you spell his name?
P-O-E.
There's no such author listed.
Check again, please.
That file is flagged. He was one of the authors in the Great Burning of 2265.
I must have forgotten.
Do you know much about him?
He had some interesting ideas on death.
Horrible ones. Not a nice subject to talk about.
Barbaric. Good thing he was burned. Unclean. By the way, do you have any Lovecraft?
Is that a sex book?
Mr. H.P. Lovecraft.
I see he was burned, too.
I suppose that applies to Machen and a man named Derleth and one named Bierce.
Yes. All burned. And good riddance. I'll bet you've just come back from Mars.
Why do you say that?
Well, there was another colonist in here yesterday. He'd just made the Mars trip. He was interested in supernatural literature, too. It seems there are actual tombs on Mars. You know, the ancient method for burying people?
A crude custom.
Well, seeing the tombs made him curious. He asked if we had some of those authors you just mentioned. You are one of the Mars colonists, aren't you?
I got back on the ship the other day.
Well, the other young man's name was Berg.
Of course, Berg. Good friend of mine.
Yeah. Here's a new holocube. The latest news from Mars. You can watch it in the viewing room if you like.
Thanks.
I'd recommend some vitamin shots and a sun lamp. You don't look so good, Mr.
Lantry. I'll be fine. See you next Hallows Eve.
Aren't you a clever one? If there were a Hallows Eve, I'd make it a date.
But they burned that, too.
Oh, they burned everything.
You there?
Me?
Yes, you. Come here a minute.
You need some help, mister.
Tell me something. Why are there any streetlights in the middle of the blocks?
Why?
I'm a teacher. I thought I would test your knowledge.
Oh, okay. Why aren't there any...
lights in the middle of the block.
You don't need lights in the middle of the block. That's why.
But it's getting dark.
So?
Aren't you afraid?
Of what?
The dark.
Why should I be scared of the dark?
Well, it's black. It's dark. And after all, streetlights were invented to take away dark, take away fear.
That's dumb. They make streetlights so you can see where you're going.
Well, what's out there between the lights?
Nothing.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Listen to me. Could you go up in the hills by the graveyard and stay there all night in the dark?
Sure.
And not be afraid?
Yeah.
I think you're a liar.
Don't call me that. It's a bad word. It's against the law.
Look. Look. Look into my eyes.
So?
Closer. Closer. That's right. Boo!
You're funny.
What'd you say?
You're funny. Do it again. Hey, guys, come here. This man does funny things.
Never mind, never mind. Good night.
Good night, mister. Careful in the dark.
All the stupidity, bringing children up without so much as an ounce of imagination.
You stop running.
Listen.
There's not a sound, except the night breathing of the crickets. For the first time, you realize what is so peculiar to yourself.
There's no sound inside me.
Strange. Funny. A noise you never hear when you're alive. The breath that feeds your body. And yet, once dead, how you miss it.
It's like listening to a statue.
But you're not a statue. You live. Or rather, move about.
How? How is it possible? Over and above scientific explanations, theories, doubts?
By one thing, and one thing alone.
Yes. Hatred.
Hatred is a blood in you. It goes up and down, around and through. Up and down, around and through. It is a heart in you. Not beating, true, but warm. You are...
what? Resentment. Envy. They said I could not lie any longer in my coffin in the cemetery. I wanted to, but then they came and said, out you go into the furnace.
They gave birth to you with their damnable practices and ignorance.
They need to be shown. I will show them.
Sun is good. So is night. There's nothing wrong with the dark, they say.
Dark is horror. You must fear. You hear me? That has always been the way of this world. I will make night what it once was.
Hello there.
Hello.
Why are you walking?
I'm going to Scienceport.
Scienceport? Well, that's a full 10 miles away. Why don't you ride?
I don't have a car.
Well, you don't like to drive.
I don't know how.
Ask one of your friends to show you.
I don't have any friends anymore.
That's hilarious. Are you a comedian?
I just like to walk.
Nobody likes to walk, especially not at 1 o'clock in the morning.
I need the exercise. It's been a long time.
Are you sure I can't give you a lift?
I'm sure.
Well, have a nice walk, friend.
This is a world of bungling, helpful, nosy people.
By God, you can't even walk without being accused of sickness.
There's only one thing. You must not walk any longer. You have to ride.
I should have accepted that fellow's offer.
Hi there, friend. What are you doing out here at this hour? Where's your beetle?
It broke down.
Well, let me give you a ride. Jump on in.
Thank you.
Where are you headed?
Scienceport.
Oh, what are you going to do there?
I'm going to raise an army of the dead.
Buddy, you sure have a weird sense of humor.
In a moment, the conclusion of Ray Bradbury's Pillar of Fire. This is NPR, National Public Radio.
Have you missed programs in the 2000X series? Would you like to have your own copies? Well, you can now find 2000X and other fine NPR programs on the World Wide Web. I'll give you the internet address at the end of today's program so that you may have pencil and paper handy.
I need to find the science port car.
He's busy. Can't you see that?
I'm a doctor.
Let's see your ID.
Hurry, officer. They need me.
Yeah, they need every medic in the county.
Officer?
Yes, coroner.
Saul, thank God.
Let this man pass. I'm the one who called.
Oh, sure, coroner.
I've never seen so many bodies.
427 so far.
Can't leave them piled up.
Officer, I need a vacant building.
There aren't any.
Then requisition one. A tent, anything.
There's an old warehouse on the edge of town. I can have them moved there.
Forget about ambulances. We need trucks. Lots of them.
The trucks keep bringing more bodies. There aren't enough tables.
Lay them out in rows and blankets.
Oh, it's so primitive.
Do it, nurse. Spray disinfectant all through the warehouse.
There isn't any more disinfectant.
Use bleach and salt. We can't burn the bodies till they're identified.
That could take hours.
Then we'd better hurry.
It was like the 4th of July. The biggest damn firecracker of all. The science port incinerator split down the middle and flew apart. It made 1,000 small explosions that ended with a greater one. It fell upon the town and crushed houses and burned trees. It woke people from sleep and then, an instant later, put them to sleep again.
I could go on this way. From town to town, from country to country.
Destroying the burners, the pillars of fires, until the whole clean, magnificent framework of flame and cauterization is tumbled.
Let me see. If each explosion averages 500 deaths, I can work that up to 100,000 in no time.
And then you can begin making friends.
Yes. I can begin my enrollment of the dead.
Why don't you go home, Saul? Everyone else has. There's nothing more you can do here.
You too, McClure.
Oh, I'm okay.
Huh. Your eyes look like black holes.
Well, the way I see it, this is a chance to learn all we can about fatal and non-fatal injuries.
Mostly fatal.
And about the dead. For once, we've had more than a few minutes with the bodies before they were burned. I'm a scientist.
As are we all.
And this is important field work. Could save lives. No more wars. All we know comes from textbooks. But this is primary source material.
Indeed. I found the whole experience fascinating, if grueling.
Any word on what caused the explosion?
No. The two incinerators in nearby communities should go up within days of one another.
Well, maybe it's deliberate.
Sabotage. In this day and age...
Both with all the safeguards, an accident is highly unlikely at either of the two plants. It's inconceivable that anyone would deliberately do anything purposefully antisocial or destructive... Except somebody apparently did. It sounds far-fetched, I know.
Speaking of far-fetched, I suppose you've heard about that man in Salem, the dead man.
Yes, indeed. William Lantry. Not much information on him, except he died relatively young, sometime in the 20th century. I was looking into the case when you called me.
Very curious. One moment he was dead and buried, and the next, he was up and gone. I thought it might have been you taking advantage of the cemetery excavation to do some research, but then I thought, it's not like McClure to just snatch something without telling anyone.
Hell, I didn't. Apparently, Landry just walked away.
You're not serious.
Well, I'm sure there's some scientific explanation. Those fellas, are they eyewitnesses?
The laborers?
Yes, they came in from Salem to help out. You! Yes, both of you, come here. Come here a minute.
Yeah. You need something, Doc?
What do you know about the missing man from the Salem graveyard?
Oh, not much, except his name.
William Lantry.
Yeah, Lantry. Died young back in the first half of the 20th century.
I'd like to talk to you two when you have a chance.
Oh, sure, but well, we're supposed to start packing the bodies off to Mallettown in the morning.
How about now?
I don't know. I'm awful tired. How about you?
Well, I'm kind of hungry. They've probably been going all day the way we have.
Yeah. Well, boys, here's my card. It has my home address on it, and drop by tonight if you feel like it. Or after you finish up tomorrow, you can reach me at the hall.
Okay. Probably be tomorrow, Doc.
I'd rather do it tonight and go straight home from Mellontown.
Well, let's get something to eat. All right. See how we feel after.
Don't you ever sleep?
Sleep is a waste of time.
Not for me. I'm going home.
Good night, Saul.
The warehouse is calm, quiet, and shadowed in the dark morning. You are among your own.
Better than that. I've created these. I've made them dead.
You have procured for yourself a vast number of recumbent friends. And now you are drawing a blue chalk pentagram on the floor by each of the bodies. You've already chalked the floor by 100 of them.
Now is the time for all good men to come to the aid of their party. Now is the
flying in the earth over the centuries and processes and thoughts of passing peoples and passing times have seeped down to you slowly as into a deep buried sponge. From some death memory in you now, ironically, repeatedly, a black typewriter clutches out black even lines of pertinent words.
For all good men to come to the aid of William Lantry.
Other words.
Arise, my love, and come away. The quick brown fox jumped over.
Paraphrase it.
The quick risen body jumped over the tumbling incinerator. Lazarus, come forth from the tomb.
You know the right words. You only need to speak them as they have been spoken over the centuries. You need only gesture with your hands and speak the words. The dark words that will cause these bodies to quiver, rise, and walk. And when they have risen, you will take them through the town. They will kill others, and others will rise and walk. And by the end of the day, there will be thousands of good friends walking with you.
Rise, all of you. Rise. Hear me and act.
Sheets lay in white, blue shadow folds over the silent bodies.
Come on! Get up! They always have, for 1,000 years. When you make a mark, so, and speak a word, so, they always rise. Why not you now? Why not you?
Once upon a time, people shuddered when they heard the wind about the house. Once people raised crucifixes and wolfbane and believed in walking dead. And as long as they believed, then So long did the dead exist. The mind gave birth and reality to them. But
these people do not believe.
They have never heard superstition, never trembled or shuddered or doubted in the dark. Therefore, these people cannot rise, cannot walk again.
I am alone.
A sad and mournful day.
What?
A man steps out of the shadows. He's tall, white-haired.
How long have you been standing there?
Oh, not long. Do you know someone here?
No, not a soul.
You must not attract attention to yourself. You must be careful.
Well, then let's go outside. No reason to stay, is there?
Not now.
Oh, terrible accident.
Terrible.
So many dead.
So many.
My name's McClure.
Did you have any friends inside?
No. A casual acquaintance. Awful accident.
Awful.
Say, could you answer me a question?
Be glad to.
Is your name Lantry?
Yes.
William Lantry?
Yes.
Then you're the man who came out of the Salem graveyard day before yesterday, aren't you?
Yes.
Good Lord, I'm glad to meet you, Lantry. We've been trying to find you for the past 24 hours.
You what?
Why did you run off? Don't you realize what an instance this is? We want to talk to you. Oh, I thought it was you.
You're the first person who's guessed who I am. Everyone I meet thinks I've just returned from Mars.
Well, you come with me to the hall.
What hall?
The science hall. It isn't every day we get a real case of suspended animation. In small animals, yes, but in a man? Oh, never. Come with me.
What's the act? What's all this talk?
I don't know what you mean.
Never mind. Is that the only reason you want to see me?
What other reason would there be, Mr. Lantry? Well, we'll put you up at my place, and after you get settled in, we'll go to the hall and I'll examine you.
I thought you might want to take me to the police.
The peace control?
If I were involved in a crime.
There's no crime here. They wouldn't know what to do with you.
That's right. It's not logical.
You are astounded. Here is this fool, McClure, playing your cards for you. A stupid scientist or whatever, accepting you not as a suspicious baggage, a murderous item, only as a suspended animation case.
You know, I had a feeling you'd show up at the morgue tonight.
Oh?
Just a hunch. You ancient Americans had peculiar ideas about death. You were among the dead for so long, I thought you might be drawn to others like you. And there you were.
Big as life.
Do you want something to eat? You must be starving.
I'm not hungry.
I don't have to examine you right away. You should rest first.
I'm not tired.
How did you get to the science port?
I walked.
No one offered you a ride?
I wanted to think.
All you had to do was ask.
So, this is the age of space travel, is it?
Oh, we've been traveling back and forth to Mars for some time now.
Amazing. And those big funnels, those towers in the middle of every town?
Incinerators. Oh, of course. We didn't have anything like that in your time. We don't bury the dead anymore. We immolate them in the incinerators. I had some bad luck with them. An explosion in Salem and one here within days of one another.
How fortunate that I got out of my coffin when I did. I might well have been thrown into one of your incinerators.
Come inside. I'll fix us a drink. I think we both need one. Sherry?
No, thank you.
Another cigarette.
I'm still working on this one.
They tried to ban these, you know.
You do not move. You can't. All of this is so fascinating that you want only to see, to hear what will happen next. It is McClure's show from here on in.
I am alone in this room.
That's a strange thing to say.
Well, at first I thought this is the pure psychosis I've ever seen.
You're not making any sense. What is?
You. I thought he's convinced himself. He's quite insane. He's told himself to do all these little things.
Little things?
I watched your nostrils, Landry. Little nostril hairs never once quivered in the last hour. And then I gave you a cigarette, and you sucked and blew. None of it ever came out of your nose. And then I looked at your chest. It never moved up and down. Landry's convinced himself that he's dead. That's what I told myself.
So you think I'm crazy?
Not now. Now I know the truth. It's a subliminal thing, intuitive. Something is in a room when a man lives in it. Something is not in a room when a man is dead in it. I am alone in this room. You are dead. Oh, this is very illogical and as new to me as the world is to you. I'm glad to have met you, Lantry. This will make a very interesting report.
Is there anything wrong with being dead?
You must admit it's highly unusual.
Is it a crime?
Oh, we have no crime. No criminal statutes, no criminal court. Nothing is a crime. Nobody commits crimes, so there's no reason to make laws. No one will break them. We want to examine you, naturally, to find out how you happened, as it were.
I'm a ghost.
Silly word.
It fits the circumstances.
There are no such things as ghosts.
Yet here I am.
Here you are. A total impossibility.
So, when you're finished examining me, can I go?
Oh, yes. In fact, you can refuse the examination. But I hope you won't. I hope you will volunteer your services.
I might.
One thing. What brought you down to the morgue?
I walked.
No, I mean, what were you doing there?
Nothing.
I heard you talking and shouting, and I saw those chalk marks you drew on the floor. What's that all about?
Just a ritual for my own day, a kind of blessing over the corpses.
You're lying. This is very bad, Mr. Lantry. The truth is far better.
What is truth?
The truth is that you are dead. And being the only one of your sort, we're lonely. Therefore, you killed people to have company.
I did I?
Oh, it's only logical. Once I realize that you're really dead, really a...
ghost?
For want of a better word. At any rate, once I realize this, I linked you immediately to the incinerator blasts. It was simple to guess your loneliness, your hate, your envy. All of the tawdry motivations of a walking corpse.
Tawdry, you call it?
And then, to imagine you at the warehouse among the dead, that you yourself created, trying to animate them, superstitiously believing that you could raise them to join you and help you.
You're too damn smart.
What are you doing?
Come back here. You've thrown away your chance to kill McClure. You should have done it earlier, before he suspected
you. You want to kill me, don't you?
I will kill you.
Well, it won't do you any good. You know that. Remember what happened in the warehouse.
I don't care.
You didn't raise those dead, did you?
I don't care.
There's never going to be any more like you. Don't you see it's no use?
Then I'll destroy all of you.
And then what? You'll still be alone. You'll die.
I'm already dead. You've got him. You crouch on his defenseless body, choking and beating him.
He looks up at you with dying eyes.
You don't understand. Once you kill all of us, the hate will die. It's hate that moved you. Nothing else. You're not immortal. You're not a ghost. You're just fucking hatred.
I don't care.
Hey, hiya, Doc.
Yeah.
Hey, what's going on?
New game.
Hey, kill these fools before they realize what's going on.
Yes, a new game. Catch him and you win.
All right. Hey, I got him.
Hold him tight. Hold him.
Whoa. Kind of a rough game. You're bleeding and your eyes all swollen.
I'll be all right. Now that we got him, what we do with him?
A beetle hisses along the shining road.
I don't get it.
I don't either. It isn't really a game?
Yes, and no.
You do not move.
It's all very illogical.
You are a marionette. Your strings are cut. There's only a tiny hatred in your heart, in your eyes, like twin coals, feeble, glowing, fading.
Where are we going?
I'll do the best I can for you, Lantry.
Is that his name?
No.
The patient of yours?
I thought I could help, but he's the one who taught me.
My name is Blackwood.
That's a lie. Don't listen to him.
A lie?
I mean, it's part of his game.
We still playing?
Algernon Blackwood.
How do you spell that?
An Arthur Machen and Ambrose Bierce.
Which is it?
And Seabury Quinn and Frank Beltman at Law.
Never heard of him.
And then the Wade Wellman and Howard Phillips Lovecraft.
Oh, sure. Funny names. They aren't real, are they?
I'm not sure.
And the ghost of Hamlet's father. I am the turn of the screw.
Henry James, that one's real. I remember a hollow cube. Oh, turn here to the Mellontown incinerator.
I thought we were going to the hospital.
Oh, they can't treat him there. They wouldn't know how.
Why is that?
They can only help the living.
This is highly irregular.
You are no more than wax now, with a faint glow in your eyes. I've signed all the papers. What's the problem? This future world, how the men talk to you, how logically they reasoned away your life.
He's not dead.
They won't believe in you. I'm a doctor, and I say he is. The force of their disbelief has frozen you.
This is the first departed I've seen who had to be forcibly kept from walking away.
They've set you in a golden box and roll you on a roller table into the warm, glowing interior of the incinerator. It's a big world. I'm sure there are many things you haven't seen.
No doubt. No doubt.
You are dead. You are logically dead. How do you feel, Lantry? Can I give you something?
Not Lantry. I'm Osiris. I'm Baal. I'm Set.
Easy.
I'm the Book of the Dead. Necronomicon. What is he saying? Of a dancing skeleton. A werewolf. I'm an organ played at midnight. I'm the Phantom of the Opera. He's out of his head.
Is he?
Lord Dunsany. And the Monkey's Paw. And the Phantom Rickshaw. And the Hounds of Tyndalos. And the Legend of Sleepy Hollow. The Cat and the Canary. Murders in the Room Wharf. The Gorilla. The Bat. I am the Red Death. Here we are.
Let's get on with it.
I'm Archer. I'm a Redstone. The manuscript found in the bottle, the pit, and the pendulum, the telltale heart, the raven, nevermore.
Nevermore.
I'm in the catacomb.
Yes.
I mean, all in. A very good joke. Let us be gone. We who are born of the sun, return to the sun.
For the love of God, drink his blood!
I just heard an adaptation of Ray Bradbury's novelette Pillar of Fire by Dennis Etchison and Yuri Rasovsky. In the cast, you heard George Murdoch as the narrator, Alan Miller as Lantry, Phil Proctor and Brian Finney as the Grave Diggers, Sandy Orkin as McClure, and James Otis as the coroner, with Ira Burton, Gabrielle DeCure, Janet Fontaine, and Laura Kellogg. Warren Dewey was the engineer,
and the play was produced and directed by Yuri Rasovsky.
For those of you who, as we, have a deep and long-standing affection for Mr. Bradbury and his multifarious storytellings, please be advised that he is recovering nicely from the stroke reported near the end of the last century, and he is writing every day as if anything could stop him. Ray, still a kid, was fawning to see the year 2000, and as our gift to him, this adaptation.
In addition to these NPR broadcasts, 2000X may be downloaded from the Internet at www.audible.com, where you will find a library of 22,000 hours of spoken word audio. The 2000X series may be listened to at your PC or on a variety of Audible-ready mobile digital audio players for listening anytime, anywhere. www.audible.com. .com 2000X is produced by the Hollywood Theater of the Ear in association with National Public Radio. Stefan Rudnicki is executive producer, Harlan Ellison host and story consultant, and Yuri Rasovsky project director. Jerry Summers composed the series theme music. Other music heard in this program was provided by Pro Music Incorporated. Other services were contributed by John Tierney, Carol McFadden, the media staff, Laura Kellogg, Rusty Warren, and Dick Orkin Creative Services. Major support for this program has been provided by the National Endowment for the Arts. Additional support comes from the Wallace Reader's Digest Funds, seeking to enrich community life through support of education, arts, and culture. And Borders Books and Music, celebrating the arts by supporting cultural programming on NPR. www.borders.com. I'm Robert Foxworth, and this is NPR, National Public Radio.